Would you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, it is with great joy that we assemble here to worship and to praise Thee. The Father, Thou art worthy of all our praise and adoration. And we pray that You'd lead us by Thy Holy Spirit, that we might be separated from the cares of this life, and that we might set our affection upon heavenly things, that we might from our hearts worship Thee, Heavenly Father. And we know that without the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit, all our efforts will be vain. So bless us, Father, with a great outpouring of Thy Spirit upon us. Father, we are mindful of those of our church body, our family and friends who are sick at this hour. We've named many, Heavenly Father, that are in very low condition this day. You're a mighty God, and You're able to raise them up and restore to health. And Father, we do desire that when it is in accordance to Thy will. But Father, we know that there comes a time when it is in Your will that we leave this life to go to Thee. And Father, for those that are near passing, we pray that You'd just comfort and bless them, bless their families. And Father, just give peace and comfort. But just now, Father, we pray that You'd lead us in the study of Thy Word. I pray that You would bless me to preach the gospel. Bless each one of us to hear and to understand. Help us, Father, to draw closer to Thee day by day. Forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter. I want to read verses 29 through 31 to begin our study. Again, Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31. We have been in a series of messages looking at those who were literally at the feet of Jesus Christ. And in various ways, we've looked at several instances, and we'll continue that. But those who literally bowed down at the feet of Jesus Christ are giving us a picture. We certainly can't literally be at the feet of Jesus, but that indicates a spiritual condition of our hearts and our lives. I dare say if I took a poll and asked you to raise your hand, there's not a one of you that would not say, I want to be at the feet of Jesus. And there's not a one of us who would not recognize the fact that that's the best place in the world to be, when we can be at the feet of Jesus Christ. But it's difficult to put that in practice sometimes, isn't it? We get caught up in the cares of this life and all those things that come against us. And I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes it's just hard for me to be at the feet of Jesus. There's enough of the Adam man in us, enough of our old sinful nature. I hear some of this teaching out in the religious world today that we expect Jesus to be at our feet. You know, we want Him to be right there so that whatever we need, we just call on Him and He's going to provide our needs, and He's just right there. We need to recognize that He's God. He is God Almighty. And He has created us for a purpose, and that is to worship and to praise Him, to be at His feet. So I hope that the Lord would bless us all, that we might spend time at the feet of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 15, and beginning at verse 29, God's Word says, "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Now, I want to just kind of put this in context of the chapter. Sometimes we read through the gospel accounts, and it sounds like there's just a series of unconnected events. But if the Lord leads us, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, we can see a connection to the things that are taking place. In Matthew chapter 15, we see those scribes and Pharisees, that they were perpetual enemies of Jesus Christ. And they had come to Jesus in the beginning of the chapter. It records they had come to Jesus and said that his disciples violated the traditions of the fathers. They didn't wash before they ate. And we've talked about that. They were talking about a ceremonial washing that they went through before they sat down. And Jesus asked them why they violated God's commandments with their traditions. So these Jews are really rejecting Jesus. He didn't come in the way they expected. He didn't do the things they thought he ought to do. So they rejected him. And then we have the account of a woman of Canaan coming to him. This is a Gentile woman. And her daughter is possessed with a devil and just going through a terrible time. So she came to Jesus, came to the disciples and crying out for Jesus. And at first Jesus didn't answer anything. But she continued and Jesus tells her that, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but he said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles, I'm sent to the Jews. And it's not right to take what the children's meat and cast it to the dogs. Now that sounds like a pretty harsh statement. But if we understand the original language, when he used the word dogs, it's literally we'd say the little puppies, the little lap dogs, the little pets. So he's not talking about those wild, vicious dogs that might have roamed the streets. So it's almost an affectionate exchange between Jesus and this woman. But she says that even the little puppies get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So what we see is this Gentile woman, Jesus said, I'm not sent to the Gentiles, but she would not be turned away. Jesus was her only hope, and by faith she sought him and she would not be turned away. So you see here that Jesus is being rejected by the Jews, being received by the Gentiles, and there's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy. And brothers and sisters, we're Gentiles in the flesh, and we're blessed because of the things that are taking place right here. And then following the account that I read, this multitude that has followed Jesus, 4,000 men plus women and children, are miraculously fed. All those who had come to Jesus by faith were fed. So we see the power, the mercy of Jesus Christ. He came to his own and his own received him not. But those that came to him were always blessed. We'll always be blessed when we come to the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, as I read this account, and it talks about the great multitude that came to Jesus, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. All kind of diseases and ailments that were brought to Jesus. There are some, when it talks about maimed, there's some that speculate that this is talking about having a missing limb, having a hand cut off or an arm cut off. Jesus made them whole. I don't know if that's actually what happened or not. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I am thoroughly convinced that Jesus has the power to do that, whether that took place at that time or not. But what really struck me about this passage of Scripture is I read that all these folks, they must have been suffering greatly. If they were lame and blind and dumb and maimed and all other kind of sicknesses, and they cast them at the feet of Jesus. That word cast means just like we use it today. It means to throw, like you'd cast a stone. Like if you're a fisherman, you cast your lure, you throw it out there. And in my mind, I picture these people bringing all those suffering folks and they just throw them down at Jesus' feet. Some of the commentators believe that that's literally what happened. It may have been, but they were just so frustrated. If you've ever cared for a loved one or anyone, who needed constant care, it becomes a great burden. And if you're not careful, you can be overwhelmed in caring for someone else. And I'm sure that there have been many that just had the feeling that they just want to throw them somewhere else. There are those who understand that they were in such a great rush to get to Jesus, there's a multitude, so they wanted to be there first, and they bring their loved one, and they just shove them out there so that they'd be first in line. However it was, I don't know. I wonder if this might not be used in a figurative sense. You know, lawyers will sometimes advise their guilty clients, the best thing you can do is just throw yourself at the mercy of the court. And I'm going to tell you, the best thing we can do is just throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ. Cast ourselves down, recognizing that He is our hope. He's our salvation. He is all that we ever need, all that could ever be expected in this life and more too. And Jesus healed them. I wonder about these people, this multitude that came to Jesus. Do you suppose they were religious people? Do you suppose that they understood that here's the one that all the prophets have talked about? You know, going back all the way in the Old Testament, it prophesied of a coming one, the Messiah that was to come. Do you suppose those people said, this is the Messiah. We want to come and worship. Well, there may have been some like that. But I'm sure that most of that multitude came because they had tried everything else and there was no other hope. And just out of desperation, they had heard of a healer and they went to him. One of the Old Testament prophecies is found in the book of Psalms, in the 103rd Psalm. Psalm 103, and this is the Psalm of David. And as you read this Psalm, you'll notice that David is really talking to himself. He's talking to, oh my soul. I don't know if you ever talk to yourself or not. If you do, don't do it out loud. I talk to myself, but I try to make sure I don't do it out loud. It's an inner conversation that goes on. But that's what David is doing here. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. David is reminding himself, speaking to his own inner being, I want to praise the Lord with all my being, with all that is within me. I want to praise or bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Remember all those times the Lord has blessed you and all that He's done for you, and praise Him for it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. David says He's forgiven me all my iniquities. He has healed all my diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We could speak those words to others and they'd be true, but David remembers speaking to himself. He heals all my diseases. But first, He forgives all my iniquities. All our diseases come as a result of sin. So if our diseases are going to be healed, that forgiveness has to come first. Jesus forgives our sins. As we went through our prayer list this morning, and I mentioned those, and it always strikes me, and I was speaking with Sister Iona this morning, as I look at that, we've got that section on our prayer list of those who are suffering from cancer. And that list never seems to decrease. It always seems to be growing. And those are suffering They're dying from cancer. And it doesn't seem like that disease is ever going to be healed. But I'm going to tell you, they're going to get healing. Every disease, it might not be in this life, but when this life is over, they're going to know complete and perfect health in Jesus Christ, the great physician who is going to heal every disease of these old sinful, redeemed children of God. So they cast their loved ones at the feet of Jesus. We need to cast ourselves at Jesus' feet. In the Psalms again, in the 22nd division, and this is another Psalm of David, but this is known as the Calvary Psalm. David speaks in many ways as Jesus Christ. If you begin in this psalm, David begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words that Jesus said on the cross. So in many ways this is talking about Jesus. But I think it also, David is speaking of himself in many ways. But in Psalm 22 and verse 10, he said, I was cast on thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. I was cast on thee. I was thrown on thee. I was dependent upon thee from the very womb. I'm sure it took David a time to realize that. Most of us can look back in a time that we were probably not mindful of God at all. We can look back at that time and see that He was very active in our life. We had no other help, no other deliverance. We were cast on Him. Every redeemed child of God is cast on Jesus Christ, even from their womb. He's watching out. He has a plan for our life. He's caring for us. And He is drawing us to His feet. Jesus is a miracle worker. We all believe in the power of Jesus Christ, and we see it demonstrated in the gospel so many times. But we also see a willing healer. He never turned anyone away who came for it. It's that woman of Canaan that I talked about sounded like she was being turned away. But He was testing her faith and showing us how faith operates. But when she refused to be turned away, then He answered her prayer. He healed by speaking the word. He has both the power and the willingness to heal all our diseases. Again, in the Psalms, in the 55th division, Psalm 55, and again a Psalm of David. I didn't purposely seek out David's words, but he wrote many of the Psalms and certainly has had many great thoughts that we need to see and understand. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So our burden is to be cast on the Lord. Cast yourself at Jesus' feet. Notice that David used the singular word burden. He didn't say burdens, plural. I'm sure that if we sat down and talked, we could all name a lot of burdens that we carry. We don't need to cast every burden on Jesus Christ. Does that sound strange to you? There's some burdens that we just need to cast away. There's some burdens that we don't need to have in the first place. I'm not going to turn and read, but in Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, in the 25th verse, Jesus says, give no thought to this life, what you'll eat and what you'll put on. Give no thought for the things of tomorrow. Jesus is saying, was not saying don't be concerned about those things, but He said give no thought. It said don't worry about those things. There are a lot of things in this life, a lot of burdens that we carry that we don't need to be involved with. I don't need to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I've got enough things to be concerned with today. And that's what Jesus said. We live day by day. Don't take on burdens that we don't need to carry. But those burdens that we have, those burdens that we can't throw off, we cast those burdens on the Lord. He is a willing helper. And He is the one that has the faith. Excuse me, He has the power and He has the willingness when we come to Him by faith and we cast our burden upon Him. I think I told you in the beginning of these messages that I'm preaching to myself more than anybody else. There's so many burdens that I carry, so many concerns that I shouldn't even have. When I look at the condition of the world today, and I get to thinking about what kind of life are my grandchildren going to have to face? I'm concerned. But I don't need to worry about that. Because the same God that's blessing us today is going to be there to bless them. You know, I'm sure that if I could go back and talk to my grandparents, they would say they were concerned about the future that their grandchildren faced. And it's in the hands of God. I see, and again, let's go back to the prayer list. Many of those people on there are people that I love and people that I know are suffering from their diseases. I know their families are suffering. And you know, sometimes it just burdens me down. Those burdens I cast on the Lord. I need to remember that they're not going through anything that has not come through the hands of God. I'm concerned about people suffering, but God has a purpose in that sometimes. When I see those folks that suffer and they do it with grace and they can suffer and praise God, it encourages me. It blesses me. And it makes me to know that if I have to suffer like that, I can do it with the same dignity and same grace that they do it. So I cast all those burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ. But more than casting burdens, I want to cast myself at His feet. I want to be able to truly say, Lord, here I am. Use me as you will. Do with me as you will. Now, again, I know intellectually that is the right attitude. That's the attitude that I try to project. And that's an attitude I fight with many times. Because I've got a human will. I've got things that I want to do. And sometimes they conflict with the things that God would have me to do. And sometimes I wished I had somebody that could take me and just cast me at Jesus' feet. Nobody can do that but me. I need to do like David and start talking to my own soul. And say, bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And what joy there is when we come to the feet of Jesus Christ. There is healing for all. The lame, you know, I don't always walk the way I ought to walk when I come to Jesus' feet. My walk is restored. I feel maimed many times. I feel like I've got some limbs missing sometimes. I'm blind sometimes to the ways of God. I can put myself in the position of that multitude that came to Jesus.
I recognize a great need. I know that there's healing at the feet of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to get there. I want to close by giving you a passage from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. And I think Peter has in mind, or he's quoting or referring to the Psalm 55 that I just read, "Cast your burden on the Lord." But notice, I'm going to read here beginning at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and beginning at verse 5. And he's been given instructions, and he talks to the elders and their duties and responsibilities. But then he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." He first talked to the elders, the preachers, and then he talks to the younger, the others. Submit yourselves unto the elders. God gave elders, gave leaders as shepherds of the flock with the duty and responsibility to lead and to feed and to heal when that was necessary. And then he calls on the flock to submit to that. And then he says, be subject one to another. So we in the flock, we need to submit ourselves. We need to humble ourselves one to another. If we truly love each other as Jesus has commanded us to love one another, then we ought to be mindful of the good of one another. And I ought to know that your dealings with me are out of love. And I ought to submit myself to your advice, to your leadership. I need to humble myself. That's a hard thing for any of us to do. But God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And then he says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So we humble ourselves before God. Truly, when we humble ourselves one to another, we're humbling ourselves before God, because he's commanded us to do that. So you can't humble yourself before God if we've not humbled ourselves before one another. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He loves you. He works good in your life. If he brings you to hardships, if he brings you to trials, to temptations, if he brings you to suffering, it is because he loves you. That was a hard lesson I learned in life. When my parents corrected me, I was grown before I realized that it was because they loved me. Boy, sometimes it sure didn't feel like love. But I look back and realize that they were probably too easy on me. They didn't give me all the correction I needed. But what they did was out of love. God cares for us. We can cast our burden upon him. We can cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ. And we're promised that all who come before him in that way, they're going to receive healing. God bless us. To cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus is my prayer, for Christ's sake.